America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome back in. I'll get to some of your calls here in just a little bit. 312-644-6767. Hope your Sunday morning is sunshine beaming just like mine is right now. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk to Mark Schanowski of ABC7 about the Chicago Bulls. Maybe we'll get a little bit into the All-Star stuff from last night. I don't know if Mark Schanowski watched it, though. I wouldn't blame him if he didn't. We've got Josh Schrock coming up at 11:20 as well, and you too at 312-644-6767 is the number. We began the show today talking about the Bears and my consternation right now, or the debate that I'm having with myself about not what the Bears do with the number one pick. As a 219 texter said just moments ago, if the Bears don't take Williams, it would be like the Blackhawks not taking Bedard. It's interesting. It doesn't feel, for some reason, as clear-cut as that, but just because there are a million opinions and you can choose which ones you want to gravitate towards and read more and hit the read on button for. So sometimes, you know, there are moments where if you are a Caleb Williams fan, the more you read, the more it's possible you could get freaked out at some point in time. You could find a dark section that says bad things about his abilities, and boy, he might be a bust, and he might just be Baker Mayfield. Who knows? So that's always possible. But what I've been stewing over, and I want to get to the rest of my draft board here too. I flirted with that earlier, but I'm going to fill in some blanks on that for you right now too. But it's either, for me, at this point, at number 9 overall, it's either Malik Nabers, the outstanding wide receiver from LSU, or I've been sold on. See, maybe the more you read, the more you hear, the more people you talk to, you start to get sold on guys. Dallas Turner, Alabama, the defensive end, 6'4", 245, 11 tackles last year. He's somebody that is in my brain right now. Just wait until I go to the NFL Combine. Not next week, or not this upcoming week, but the following week. Just wait till I go there and all the different prospects that I'll get to talk to and watch and hear about and all that kind of stuff. That's coming soon. But this is where it is right now. You have to be able to erase and change, because that's what this game is all about. Nothing else has really changed for me on my board over the last 48 hours. I'm talking about the Bears picks. Their third round pick. What I think the Bears are going to do, it probably more important to say position, but I had still do have, so I can't make the decision at number nine. I do have the Bears taking right now in the third round a defensive end out of Utah, and that'd be Jonah Ellis. But obviously, if I did decide on Dallas Turner, that would change. But for now, I mean, I'm going to have some work to do when I get off the air, because this is all happening right now. Ellis was one of college football's most dangerous pass rushers in 2023, making a big impact for the Utes. He racked up 12 sacks, 37 tackles, and a forced fumble on the year. Plus, he produced steady pressure on the quarterback. Ellis is undersized for edge rusher in the NFL thanks to lacking height and length. However, he plays low to dip under blockers while also having some functional strength as well. So that's Jonah Ellis, defensive end, Utah, on my board. But you have to say that's a little bit controversial right there, depending on what I do with the number nine overall pick. Feel free to play along, 312-644-6767. See people wanting to get in, so I'll try to get through this quickly. Fourth round, ready? Two fourth-round picks. I'm thinking Matt Lee, center slash guard for Miami. Bears, obviously, need a center going into next season, and hey, guard depth as well. So Lee spent four seasons at Central Florida before transferring to Miami. Quality size, well-rounded blocker, very good in pass pro, solid run blocker for the Knights. That trend continued in 2023 for Miami. Lee didn't receive an invitation to the Senior Bowl, but he could be a nice player on the third day of the 2024 draft. So I might have him a little bit overrated, but Matt Lee, darn it, out of Miami, at least Miami for 1 year. What else here? Oh, their second fourth round pick, has it changed? It has not. We're refreshing my board. Well, at some point in time, you know, once the Eddie Jackson news came in that he was released, you do have to think about the safety position, and I'm going to go with Evan Williams, safety out of Oregon. Solid defender for the Ducks in 2023, recording 82 tackles, 4.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 1 pass breakup, 66 tackles in 2022 after recording 90 tackles with 3 picks in 2021. So, and then finally, you'll dig this one. In the fifth round, even if they do take Malik Nabers at number nine overall, another wide receiver, Brendan Rice, USC. With Jordan Addison in the NFL, Rice helped pick up the slack in 2023 and turned in a strong senior year for the Trojans. 791 yards, 12 touchdowns in 2023, and the obvious connection to Caleb Williams. So that's where I stand right now. What say you? 312-644-6767. And help me out with the Bears' second first-round pick. What would you do with that number nine overall pick if you are the Chicago Bears? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Bruce in Deerfield.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Bruce.
I was curious. I look for floor in a top 10 pick as much as upside. Did you see Dan Kelly's synopsis of Caleb Williams?
I did not.
He's a former NFL scout. He says that Caleb Williams is going to be a complete bust.
Oh, man.
And in my personal draft, my first my first, I'm trading down to Washington. I'm letting them take Caleb Williams. I'm taking Marvin Harrison Jr. at number two, and I'm taking the best edge rusher available at number nine.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for the call, Bruce. Maybe I need to go check out Dan Kelly and see what this alleged former scout has to say about Caleb Williams. That's what I'm talking about, though. Like, you can find it. You can find deep, dark criticism of Caleb Williams on the field and off the field, if you would like. I believe it was Merrill Hodge, too, who had some negative things to say about Caleb Williams. There haven't been many. They do kind of stand out. But, no, I mean, obviously I disagree. I think Caleb Williams is the best quarterback. I think that's the guy the Bears should and will draft. I mean, like, if somehow Marvin Harrison Jr. ends up on this team, probably is the pound for pound, you know, second best or maybe even best athlete in the entire draft. I mean, he's an absolute freak. So it's hard to sit here and, like, have to poke holes in Marvin Harrison Jr., but we all know the value of the quarterback. That's just truth. Let's go to Mike in Elgin. What's going on, man?
Hey, Brody, how you guys doing?
We're doing all right, man. How are you?
Pretty good. Just waiting for baseball now. All football's done. Hey, Grody, I got a good question. I don't know why they do this. I don't know if it could be changed or not. I'm just curious. How come they don't have, you know, the free agent starts in March 14th or something like that? How come they don't switch and have the draft first, then the free agent second? I mean, wouldn't it be better to have that way? You know, so
why,
the free agent be second?
Why would that make it better, do you think?
Well, the draft people will be better when they draft the players. I mean,
I don't know that, man.
For the free agents, no. For the free agents, you know, I mean, that's like not leftovers, but the draft was more important. You know, I mean, the free agent should be like second, and the draft people should be first.
Yeah, I got you, man. Yeah, no, I hear you, man. I hear you. Thanks for the call, Mike. I appreciate it. To me, it really doesn't matter. I mean, if you did you do the draft first, and then you see what you need in free agency, and then the other way around, if it was free agency first, which it is, then you get what you want, and then what's left over is in the draft. So I don't really see it being too much of an advantage either way, but I certainly do appreciate the call. 312-644-6767 is the number. It is frightening, too, that, like, how, like, I know, like, the Bears have the resources. You can find wide receivers. The Bears are going to have a full cupboard of wide receivers once training camp starts or whenever the season starts and all of that. But right now, there just are not a lot of options on the, like, as the roster is set up with assuming that Darnell Mooney will not return to the Bears. And I have had every indication that he is not going to re-sign with the Bears. But, you know, it's DJ Moore. That's it. And then you have Tyler Scott. You have Equanimeous St. Brown. You have Velus Jones. So you see what I'm talking about, that position, not just bodies, but, you know, we're beyond the Bear in this rebuild. If you want to follow a rebuild plan, they are to the point of quality over quantity. I think when Ryan Poles first came in, you made the argument that it was a quantity over quality situation. Let's get bodies in here, and we're going to get the most talented ones out of here. Roquan Smith and all that. I understood what he was doing. But we could have their Roquan Smith conversation anytime, too, if you'd like. But the wide receiver position is just like that. That has to go hand in hand with the season, because whomever is playing quarterback for the Bears this season, they better be put in a position to win. This is, even if it's Caleb Williams, like, this is not going, of course, it's a rookie year, which I suppose connotes in itself some sort of development, but there's going to be, let's put it this way, no matter what, there is going to be an expectation to win for the Bears this year. Tony is on the south side. Thanks for waiting, Tony. You're on the score.
Hey man, how you doing, man?
Good, man.
It's a beautiful Sunday morning. Yes, yes. And so basically what I want the Chicago fan base to know is to just trust the process. I believe that Poles is doing what's best for the Bears, and no matter which way it goes, I mean, you could look at both sides. If we take Caleb, hey, man, we got something spectacular. If we keep Justin, we're going to build a team. Even if Justin is not here in 2 years, man, we're going to have draft capital for the next 6 years.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win situation here. No matter what, we're going to be a better team. Bear down.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call, man. It's such a great call because it's true. The alternative, whatever your alternative is in your brain, is far from a dud. I know what I want the Bears to do. I want them to draft Caleb Williams. But if somehow they don't, I'm not going to be pounding my fist on the desk in front of me. No, because it'd be like, okay. Because that would, again, I'm going to use the word again, connote, that the Bears probably have maybe 3 first-round picks, then they've set themselves up again for this year and next year. So I'd be like, show me. All right, this is interesting. Oh, you're going to keep Justin Fields. Wow, show me. So I think either way, it's, I don't know if you even want to express it as a no-lose situation because for some people, they're really dug in. But I think it's a great call. It's definitely going to be exciting either way. 312-644-6767. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about the Chicago Bulls. We're at the All-Star break, so we'll take a deep breath. Talk about the Bulls with Mark Schanowski, see what's been going down with them recently, and more importantly with the Bulls right now, what exactly the future looks like. We'll do that with Schanowski next. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
I heard accountability. You know, and that's what you need as a young leader is accountability. And we're watching Kobe White grow up before our very eyes. Yeah. You know, because I don't know, 2 years ago he probably wouldn't have made that statement.
Yeah.
You know, but now he's doing it. And then, you know, he knows he's probably, okay, I should have taken that shot. You know, and I put Vooch in a bad situation because Vooch was not, he didn't have it going tonight. And, you know, I threw him the basketball and I expected him to make a play when he wasn't making plays all day.
Yeah.
So it really, he took it, it's on me. Basically.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That is the voice of Kendall Gill, NBC Sports Chicago. Gill talking about, glowing about Kobe White and his maturity. He's been the story of the Chicago Bulls this year. Right? I mean, I guess one is Kobe White and 1B, or do you say 1A, 1B, Zach LaVine? I don't know. That's actually a good question as we get back in here on The Score. I am Mark Grody. Like, what is the story of the Chicago Bulls this year? Is it Kobe White? Is it Zach LaVine? Is it speaking of Kendall Gill, I don't know if you guys watched the All-Star stuff last night, the slam dunk contest, three-point contest, skills competition. I watched it all. I watched just about every minute of it. There was a moment during the slam dunk contest where Jaylen Brown was competing, one of the biggest actual, like, known names to compete in the slam dunk contest in forever. And before he took his dunk, there was a guy that ran out there who looked exactly like Kendall Gill. And the announcers called it out. You know, you had Ernie and Kenny Smith and Reggie Miller. They're all like, it looks like Kendall Gill. They're all like, Google this man. Google Kendall Gill if you don't. I'm like, Google Kendall Gill? It's Kendall freaking Gill. You don't have to Google. And it did look exactly like him. It was hilarious. More on all of that stuff later. Let's now bring in to talk more Bulls and maybe even more All-Star festivities is the one and only Mark Chenowski of ABC 7, Windy City Bulls, the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast, which I'm lucky enough to be a part of occasionally with these guys. What's going on, Mark? How are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. And, you know, Kendall was not very happy with that comparison. I don't know if you saw on Twitter last night, but he made a strong statement to say, that guy looks nothing like me.
I thought he did look like him. Did you?
Maybe a little bit, but, you know, he was also very skinny. And,
yes.
And Kendall takes a lot of pride in his, you know, his weightlifting and all the work he's done. He didn't want to be compared to a skinny guy that looked
okay.
Like, you know, a guy from a sitcom in the 70s, you know.
Oh, no, that's true. Absolutely. No, the body and the size, he was like poor man's Kendall Gill, like in terms of that. Okay, I give him that respect. I see where he's coming from. I don't think people need to Google Kendall Gill, do they? Really?
No, but, you know, the thing that was really stupid is the guy ran out in his Wilkins jersey, and I know they were saying it was an homage to Dominique with the dunk because it was one that he had done previously. But,
yeah.
You know, if you're going to use a prop, use it. The guy just came out, gave him a high five, and then just stood on the side. It's like that was a total waste of time. As was a lot of the festivities last night.
Oh, I know. And the judging in the slam dunk contest was just atrocious.
Terrible.
Just atrocious.
Yeah. Yeah. And how about that ridiculous skills competition where Anthony Edwards thought so much of it, he was shooting left-handed from the corner.
Yeah.
He was basically saying, why are you wasting my time bringing me out, or this is a joke?
Oh, yeah, he was. And at first I didn't know because I was just like, I was not watching it as closely as I should have been. I'm like, why does he keep banging off the back of the sideboard? I understand. Like, wait a minute. Oh, he's shooting lefty. Yeah.
And Wembanyama was his teammate. You could see he was kind of pissed because, you know, this is his first taste of All-Star Weekend. So as a rookie, he's all gung-ho. He wants to win the skills competition. And basically, Anthony Edwards just tanked it for him.
Yeah, he was taking it seriously. That's a great point. I thought I was the only one who watched it. I'm glad to hear that you were in on it last night as well. It's hard. I don't know what it is, man. I always want to like take a break from stuff like that, but I'm always like, you know what? It's like an award show. I'm just going to watch it because you just never know what's going to happen.
I used to love All-Star Saturday Night. I mean, it was something that I'd made a point of watching. Now you almost watch it out of duty because
yeah.
It really has deteriorated. They do get, you know, top guys to compete in the three-point shooting contest. And that's always entertaining, but it's also repetitive. You know what it's going to be every year. And the only thing you're hoping for is maybe somebody will get a score over 30 and set a new record. But it's like last night, you had four guys got 26, and then they had to have a shootout. And it was kind of tedious. I thought the Steph and Sabrina thing was good.
But, yeah.
The regular three-point contest fell a little flat.
Yeah, Sabrina Ionescu of the New York Liberty against Steph Curry in a three-point duel.
Good.
Yeah, and it felt like it was one of those, no matter what, it was just going to be a good for the game moment. I mean, definitely some, Sabrina Ionescu, just hearing her, she, is definitely an advocate for women and for women's basketball. So I think it was, that was sort of like, hand in hand in a good moment, I thought, for the NBA. We'll see if they continue to do it. But for the record, it was Steph Curry that did get the win in that particular contest last night. Matt McClung getting the win in the slam dunk contest. You ever see him up close doing any of your Windy City Bulls or Bulls stuff, watching that kid play?
I've called a few of his games, including the last two before the All-Star break. It was the Windy City Bulls against the Osceola Magic, and McClung sat out the first game, and then in the second game, he scored a lot of points, but he didn't dunk at all. I was commenting on the broadcast that he's obviously saving his legs for the dunk contest. He's doing really well in the G League. He's averaging like 25 points a game. He's a good scorer. He's got good shooting range. It's kind of a mystery to me why he hasn't gotten a longer look in the NBA. I know after he won the dunk contest last year, the 76ers signed into a 10-day contract, but he never got in a game, and basically he disappeared. He's only played in four games. One of those was with the Chicago Bulls during the height of the pandemic when guys were scrambling for players. But it's not like all he can do is dunk. He does have some skills to his game. I'm surprised. You'd think a team that was having trouble selling tickets might sign him just as a curiosity to bring some more fans in.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's like a once-a-year guy now, and we all relive his story and get the update like I just did from you. And he was asked last night, you got to do it again next year? And he was like, I don't know. We'll see. So it's becoming...
I don't think he'll do it next year because he was fortunate to win last night. Jaylen Brown was okay. The other two guys didn't do much. So he kind of had a walkover because... As good as he was, last year it was wow, because there's this guy from the G League people have never seen before
exactly. Doing
something different. And now, it's great, but we've already seen that. So that's the problem with the dunk contest, and that's why, there have been different periods where they've given it a 1 or 2 year hiatus, because it gets stale if you don't get the biggest names in the game doing it. I give Jaylen Brown a ton of credit for participating, because the All-Stars don't want to do it, because if they don't win – they get ridiculed by their peers. It's like, well, you lost to a bunch of nobodies.
Right, exactly. And I don't think that in Jaylen Brown's case, there was necessarily the pressure to win it, because he's not necessarily thought of in that prolific way. But, yeah, it was good.
Right.
Good to see an actual name out there for sure. We are talking to Mark Schanowski here on The Score. I am Mark Grody. And before I brought you on, I was just kind of talking to myself, Schanowski, which is, a good thing to do when you're on the radio.
Well, that's pretty much normal. We know that.
You've seen me in press boxes.
Anybody who's checked out the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast with your great contributions knows that sometimes you lapse in and out of clarity.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. So I don't have to explain it to you. And quite frankly, the people, the listeners know. I think I've been around long enough. It's quantity over quality. People absolutely understand what's going on. But I was talking about, what's the biggest story of the Chicago Bulls this year?
Yeah, I heard what you were saying. I think that it is Zach LaVine. First of all, getting off to a slow start, then demanding a trade, and then ultimately choosing foot surgery. And, it's funny, I was clearing out some emails the other day, and I cleared out the one from the Bulls on the Zach LaVine injury. And the wording on that is so interesting, because they talk about the fact that he sought, after seeking various medical opinions, Zach LaVine and Clutch Sports have decided to pursue this foot surgery. It wasn't like, the Chicago Bulls doctors in consultation with Zach have decided that this is the best option. They made it very clear in the press release that this was something that Zach and Rich Paul decided was best for his career, not necessarily best for the Chicago Bulls, which is going to lead us to another very uncomfortable summer where he's going to continue to press for a trade, but he has trade value be next to nothing coming off foot surgery. So the Bulls are going to want him to come back next season to try to reestablish his trade value to some extent. And to this point, you know, given the public trade demand and the fact that he's had another surgery and that contract, it's going to be difficult to move him. I know any contract in the NBA is tradable, but the Bulls will never get a proper return for Zach. They held on to him too long, and it turned out to backfire on him. So I think, you know, a two-time All-Star on a max deal, you know, with everything that's happened this year, I would say that that is definitely the biggest story for the Bulls this year.
God, so looking at it realistically, people should not be surprised if he is on the Bulls roster next year to begin the year, right? I mean, and then we'll probably be talking about him again at the trade deadline next year.
Unless AK is willing to trade him for pennies on the dollar. You know, could conceivably trade him for expiring contracts and maybe one first-round pick. That's probably the best deal you could make right now. Whereas if they would have moved him last summer, they could have gotten a really good package with multiple first-rounders. It's, it's a shame, but it's that way in any professional sport. Sometimes, you hold on to a guy thinking that, if we ever decide to trade him, we can get incredible value back, and then he gets hurt or his performance declines, and then you're stuck. So that's just one of those situations where I was in favor of signing Zach to that max deal when they did it. So I'm not going to go, say 2 years later that it was a mistake, because in 2020 hindsight, we can always be right. But at this point for the Bulls, it's going to be difficult to recoup the value. And I think right now, because of the fact that he and Billy Donovan are not a perfect match, I don't know how much longer they want to go on with that marriage. It's a tough situation for the front office, one of many that they have facing them this summer, with DeMar DeRozan headed to unrestricted free agency. Patrick Williams will be a restricted free agent, and it's hard to get a gauge on him because of his inconsistency, and now he's got another injury. It's a very bad situation, and that's why I know a lot of Bulls fans were upset that no moves were made at the trade deadline. They're kind of, running in place right now in that 9-10 spot, and there doesn't seem to be any real way to advance up the Eastern Conference ladder with the current roster.
I wasn't necessarily going to drill down this much on the Zach LaVine story with you, but I am intrigued. When you supported the deal for Zach LaVine, why did you support it? And really, more importantly, what in your eyes, like through Mark Schanowski's eyes, what has gone wrong to the point where we're all saying, yeah, it's probably not going to work out with the Bulls?
Well, as I mentioned, Zach, a two-time All-Star. Remember, he played for the Olympic team that won a gold medal in the last summer games. That's how highly he was thought of around the league. And he accepted a role under Greg Popovich where he came off the bench and was kind of a defensive specialist where he would pressure the ball for short segments, and he fit into that team concept so well. Here's a guy that was scoring average was going up every year to the point where I think he averaged 27 points a game right before he signed the max deal. And he was only 26 years old at the time, or 27, when he signed the max deal. His arrow was pointing up, and the Bulls' arrow was pointing up. So you figured that this was a guy that you wanted to keep as a foundation piece that you could build around, who was just entering his prime. Unfortunately, Zach has had problems with his knees, and now he's got this foot issue. He came into the league as a high riser. He's a two-time slam dunk champion, and I think that he had rounded his offensive game to the point where he was an elite on-the-ball scorer, an isolation scorer. Mm-hmm. He did have flaws in his game. Sometimes, he would fall asleep on defense and would take his shot selection at times was questionable, but you could say that about almost any top scorer in the NBA. I thought Zach was an emerging player who was going to continue to get better, and what happened is there's been a disconnect between Zach and Billy, going back to Billy pulling him out of a game against the Timberwolves a couple of seasons ago, and that led to Zach going to his agent and saying, maybe I'm better trying to go somewhere else to win because I'm not going to win here. So it's just a case study on how things fall apart in the NBA. We see that story so many times with star players, and unfortunately, it's happened with Zach and the Bulls.
The good story with the Bulls, and I don't know if you would make this your number two story with the Bulls this year, is the guy that we heard coming in being spoken about by Kendall Gill and that's Coby White. What have you thought about this revelation?
It's been amazing. You know, when he came into the league, a 19-year-old out of North Carolina, only played 1 year of college basketball, he had so much to learn. He was wide-eyed and, you know, had a great personality, but his handles weren't that good. He would turn the ball over in traffic a lot. He couldn't finish at the rim because he didn't have the upper body strength, and you're wondering, well, what did they really get with this seventh pick? And it got to the point where there was a lot of speculation he'd be traded because he really wasn't an ideal point guard. He's more of a scoring guard, and he's worked so hard in the summers with his private coach to improve his ball handling, to improve his finishing at the rim. His judgment in terms of making passes both in transition and the half-court offense is so much better. It's been a fantastic story. I know the Bulls get a lot of criticism for not developing their young guys. Well, this is one guy who they have developed both through their coaching staff and through his own independent work in the summers. I don't know if you saw the comments from Kevin Durant during All-Star Weekend, but he was asked about who he thought the most improved player would be, and he said, it's got to be Coby White. He said, I really love his game, and he ended his quote by saying, he's going to be one of the best players in our league. And that's a pretty good endorsement from a guy like Kevin Durant.
Huh. One of the best players in the league. Do you buy that?
Well, it's a little bit hyperbole, but I still think Coby is – he just turned 24 on Friday, so happy birthday, Coby White.
Yeah,
so
very
young. He's got all his basketball. This is his fifth season, but he
amazing.
Just turned 24.
That's
and he
amazing.
Signed a very, very team-friendly three-year contract, which, of course, has two more years remaining. It's going to be one of those situations where now they're going to have to break the bank probably to keep him on the roster. So many tough decisions, like so many NBA teams face. With the new collective bargaining agreement, it's tough to keep three max players on the roster. The Bulls have one. I don't know what they're going to do in regard to DeMar DeRozan. Certainly, he wouldn't be a max player, but it wouldn't shock me at all if they signed into something like 3 years, $75 million. Which would be a lot for a guy who's going to turn 35 before next season.
Yeah, I know. I agree with that. I do like having DeMar DeRozan around him, and you obviously have to continue to surround him with help and all that. And I know he doesn't shoot the three that well, but something about his game does age well to me. How, Mark, has Billy been in all this? Billy Donovan, the head coach, is he good for this ride? Because they're just kind of going to be clunking along, it feels like. I know this is not what he had envisioned when he came and, you know, signed up with the Bulls. What do you think about him and his future?
Well, I'd love to get Billy in a private room and see how he really feels, because he's the master of coach speak in all his
Seriously.
Media sessions. He never says the wrong thing. You know, never calls his players out. He's always positive and trying to uplift guys. Very rarely will he even come close to criticizing an individual player. I think he's done a good job of trying to steady the ship. This has been a disappointing season for everyone. They came in, tweaked the roster with a couple of veterans that looked like they were going to fit well in Torrey Craig and Javon Carter. But Craig got hurt. He's missed half the season, and Javon Carter's basically fallen out of the rotation. So they came back with pretty much the same team. Then they lose Zach LaVine. It's just been that same story. This is a team that's really been cursed with injuries ever since the Derrick Rose injury back in 2012. So it's been a long, long run of injuries and some moves by the front office that didn't pan out. You know, the Lowry Markkanen trade turned out to be a disaster. It's just one of those situations where you can go back and look at moves in hindsight and say, well, why did you do that? But people were calling for Markkanen to be traded when he was here. Remember his first 2 years, or actually his second and third year, he was hurt a lot, and thought he was a bust. It's a tough deal in the NBA. You don't have much time to evaluate these guys before they're going to want huge contracts. And if you make a mistake, it's going to come back and bite you like it's done with Markkanen and the Bulls.
Yeah, it's a great example of how difficult their job is, and we don't tend to give them a lot of room for error, that is for sure. Shanowski, what's going on the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast? Mark Shanowski, co-host of the Stacey King, Mark Shanowski, Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast. And I am very lucky to be their Bears correspondent during the Bears season. So what's cooking, man?
Hey, we loved having you on, Mark. Your insight was fantastic, and we always had a lot of fun visiting with you. So we appreciate you coming on, and we look forward to doing it again next season. And we'll certainly
have you
on around draft time. What's going on, you know, with the Bulls kind of struggling a little bit? We've been trying to go in different routes to ease the tension. We've had a couple of great comedians on in recent weeks. We had Aries Spears on, who's a great impersonator, was on Mad TV, done a lot of
awesome
different TV venues. And then the week before last, we had Frank Caliendo on, which was such a blast because I know all of us of a certain age kind of were fascinated by his impersonations of John Madden and Charles Barkley. You know, he was one of the first guys to really go with the sports-themed impersonations, and he just wowed us. So if folks haven't had a chance to check it out, you can either go to YouTube and watch it visually or any of the podcast carriers. A very funny episodes with Aries Spears and Frank Caliendo just in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, like you said, Caliendo, 100% funny every time.
Yeah.
He's never not funny. So
yeah, he had some ones that, you know, I was surprised that he did. You know, you always typecast guys as well. He does these three impersonations, but I mean, he can do a wide range of stuff and still current. You know, he mentioned during the interview he's just turned 50, and it seems like he's been around forever. But still very enthusiastic about the comedy game. And of course he was a regular on the Fox pregame show for a number of years.
Yeah, I remember.
Now they've got like, 10 ex-players sitting there. So there's no more room. they have to customize those sets because they've got so many NFL guys. They're just like falling over with athletes.
Oh man, that's so true. You're so right about that. These studios are just wait a minute. Now we're going to throw to a different set with five more people who are going to tell us about the game.
I would hate to be the host for that because you're in your mind you're like, all right, who hasn't talked yet? Wait, I've talked to these three, and I got four over here. I mean, it's just mad.
I know. Oh, man, I can't imagine the traffic in the ears of the respective anchors and reporters and producers. But that's your game, Mark Schanowski of ABC7, Windy City Bulls, and the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast. Mark, it is always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for making some time on a Sunday morning.
It was a lot of fun, Groats. Always enjoy it and look forward to doing it again soon.
Yep. Thank you so much. That is Mark Schanowski, who, as we were just talking about, he does it all. That is for sure. Coming up, let's get back into the Bears talk here. And at the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Josh Schrock. Right around the corner, though, I alluded to it, some of it, with Mark Schanowski in terms of the festivities from last night. I will give you it through my eyes last night. What I watched sitting on my couch, watching everything, all of it, the skills competition, the slam dunk, the three-point, the Steph versus Sabrina. I will give you my bullet points from last night coming up next. It's my review. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Next Sunday is the Chris Chelios jersey retirement game. You can tune in to Molly and Haw Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday this week for your chance to win a pair of tickets to that game to see the Blackhawks versus the Red Wings next Sunday at United Center, courtesy of Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. I've been reminded today that this is an anniversary today, and it was 26 years ago today the great Harry Caray died. Yep, the former Cubs broadcaster, and obviously with the White Sox for a while, with the Cardinals, he was with the White Sox, and now he's in heaven enjoying himself a nice Budweiser. Yes, he is. Nico Hartner. Don't get me started. Dansby Swanson. Where the hell is Cody Bellinger? When is this guy going to get onto this? Pete Crow Armstrong. What kind of a name is that? PC. Mike Tuchman.
Hey, let's have some fun. All right.
That's right. Jan Saya. Probably about what it would be as a Yancy Almonte, Hector Naris, spelled backwards as Brendan Davis. what the hell ever happened to Brendan Davis anyway? You know, actually, talking to Bruce the other day, that name, maybe I've just been too buried in the Bears to have thought about Brendan Davis of the Cubs recently, the former 2018 Futures MVP, that it's not, the odds are probably pretty low, but, and you got to go a little ways to get there, but Brendan Davis is in play to be the Cubs center fielder this year. They're a long way from that, but he exists, and he is still thought of highly in the organization as Brendan Davis. Cody Bellinger isn't here. Is PCA ready? That is by no means positive. And then you have Mike Tauchman as well, who I like watching Mike Tauchman play baseball, but you don't necessarily think about him as the future center fielder for the Chicago Cubs or anything that is long-term right there. So that's that. Harry Carey and the Cubs. Last night, I did watch it. I watched it all. I'm a sucker for the All-Star stuff. There's no doubt about it. I mean, part of it was that I knew I was going to be doing the show today. I knew that we weren't going to make it like a huge focus of the program, and I felt that if I hadn't watched it, I probably could have gotten away with not watching it. So, long way to say, I kind of chose to watch it last night because it's you never know what's going to happen in these nights, and it's just fun. You know what it is? It's just fun, and you shouldn't have like high expectations or anything. You should prepare for it to be a little cheesy. You should prepare for it to be, you know, celebrities all over the place, and it's a show. So you just have to put yourself in that mindset. I compare it to watching awards shows, which I love watching as well. So I think they're sort of in the same category, phylum, that kind of thing. But what stood out last night, and not necessarily in any particular order, but of course Matt McClung stands out again because he won the slam dunk competition for the second year in a row. The judges just couldn't get it straight last night. Like, it was bad. It was, the judges were Gary Payton, Dominique Wilkins, Mitch Richmond, the great Sacramento King, Fred Jones, and was it Darnell Hillman? I think he... Hillman spelled backwards was Wagner. I see you, Wagner. Like, this guy, like one of his, I think it was Matt McClung's first dunk, and old Hillman gave him like just a horrible number, a horrible, like a 46 on a 50 scale. And it was maybe still the best dunk of the night. And Kenny Smith and Ernie and Reggie Miller, they were going after the judges. They weren't holding back. They weren't like being like, since it's Dominique and Peyton. Kenny Smith was especially hilarious because they were talking about them being legends. And he said, these judges are going to be legends of something else after tonight. Bad judging. So I did enjoy that because it was so bad. But, you know, it is what it is. It's entertainment, and it was pretty funny. So there was that. There was the Kendall Gill moment. Jaylen Brown was out there, part of the slam dunk competition, the Boston Celtic. And at one point in time, a young player in a number 21, actually, I didn't even know if he was a player. I don't know who he was, came out in an Atlanta Hawks Dominique Wilkins 21 jersey. But it was it Kenny Smith? I think it was Kenny Smith or Reggie Miller who was saying that the player that came out looked exactly like Kendall Gill. He did. In the face. He did. So Kendall Gill getting a shout out, which was great. And you're right, Kendall. Body-wise, wasn't even close. Wasn't even close. So that was a fun moment. And then they had this year, they had Steph Curry and Sabrina Ionescu of the New York Liberty going at it in their one-round three-point battle between those two. And it was cool. It worked out well. I think, yes, I'm like everybody else. Of course, that kind of stuff is great for the game in terms of, you know, putting, rising up women a little bit more as it pertains to basketball and the league and all of that. So it was pretty cool to watch. She was impressive. Steph did win that 29-26. It was called the Steph versus Sabrina. And then the thing, I think the thing that overridingly stood out to me during the night was in the skills competition. The skills competition was fine. It was interesting. But what stood out to me still, I still can't get past the awkwardness of how large of a man Victor Wembanyama is in doing the things that he does. I mean, it's like he's on stilts. And I know we've seen some really tall guys in the NBA in the past, and Yao Ming and Sean Bradley. And of course, those guys stood out too. But I still, like, when I watch games with Wembanyama, and I haven't watched a ton of them because of, you know, West Coast games, probably... this might have been only my third or fourth time really watching him play this year, but it's really just astounding the skills that he has, the form and shooting that he has, and just how he stands out every single second. He is like, I can't stop watching. Like, you eventually hope to get immune to it a little bit and take your eyes off of the man, but I am just glued to him. So it's that guy might have grabbed my attention still with all that went on last night. That may have grabbed my attention absolutely the most. And Dollar Dame did, by the way, win last night the three-point shooting contest as well. All right, we have to take a break because my Bears meter is going off right now. It is telling me it's time to get back to the Bears, time to get back to the Bears. We will do that next with Josh Schrock of NBC Sports Chicago. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Next Sunday is the Chris Chelios jersey retirement game. You can tune in to Molly and Haw Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday this week for your chance to win a pair of tickets to that game to see the Blackhawks versus the Red Wings next Sunday at United Center. Courtesy of Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. I've been reminded today that this is an anniversary today, and it was 26 years ago today, the great Harry Caray died. Yep, the former Cubs broadcaster, and obviously with the White Sox for a while, with the Cardinals, he was with the White Sox, and now he's in heaven enjoying himself a nice Budweiser. Yes, he is. Nico Hartner, don't get me started. Dansby Swanson. Where the hell is Cody Bellinger? When is this guy going to get onto this? Pete Crow Armstrong. What kind of a name is that? PC. Mike Tauchman. Mike Tauchman.
Hey, let's have some fun. All right.
That's right. Jan Saya. That's probably about what it would be. As a Yancy Almonte. Almonte, Hector Naris. Naris, spelled backwards as Brendan Davis. What the hell ever happened to Brendan Davis anyway? You know, actually, talking to Bruce the other day, that name, maybe I've just been too buried in the Bears to have thought about Brendan Davis of the Cubs recently, the former 2018 Futures MVP, that... It's not the odds are probably pretty low, but and you got to go a little ways to get there. But Brendan Davis is in play to be the Cubs center fielder this year. They're a long way from that, but he exists and he is still thought of highly in the organization as Brendan Davis. Cody Bellinger isn't here. Is PCA ready? That is by no means positive. And then you have Mike Tauchman as well, who I like watching Mike Tauchman play baseball, but you don't necessarily think about him as the future center fielder for the Chicago Cubs or anything that is long-term right there. So that's that. Harry Caray and the Cubs. Last night, I did watch it. I watched it all. I'm a sucker for the All-Star stuff. There's no doubt about it. I mean, part of it was that I knew I was going to be doing the show today. I knew that we weren't going to make it like a huge focus of the program, and I felt that if I hadn't watched it, I probably could have gotten away with not watching it. So, long way to say, I kind of chose to watch it last night because it's you never know what's going to happen in these nights, and it's just fun. You know what it is? It's just fun, and you shouldn't have like high expectations or anything. You should prepare for it to be a little cheesy. You should prepare for it to be, you know, celebrities all over the place, and it's a show. So you just have to put yourself in that mindset. I compare it to watching awards shows, which I love watching as well. So I think they're sort of in the same category, phylum, that kind of thing. But what stood out last night, and not necessarily in any particular order, but of course Matt McClung stands out again because he won the slam dunk competition for the second year in a row. The judges just couldn't get it straight last night. Like it was bad. It was the judges were Gary Payton, Dominique Wilkins, Mitch Richmond, the great Sacramento King, Fred Jones, and was it Darnell Hillman? I think he. Hillman, spelled backwards as Wagner. I see you, Wagner. Like, this guy, like one of his, I think it was Matt McClung's first dunk, and old Hillman gave him, like, just a horrible number, like a 46 on a 50 scale. And it was maybe still the best dunk of the night. And Kenny Smith and Ernie and Reggie Miller, they were going after the judges. They weren't holding back. They weren't like being like, since it's Dominique and Peyton, it was Kenny Smith was especially hilarious because they were talking about them being legends. And he said, these judges are going to be legends of something else after tonight. Bad judging. So I did enjoy that because it was so bad. But, you know, it is what it is. It's entertainment, and it was pretty funny. So there was that. There was the Kendall Gill moment. Jaylen Brown was out there, part of the slam dunk competition, the Boston Celtic. And at one point in time, a young player in a number 21, actually, I didn't even know if he was a player. I don't know who he was, came out in an Atlanta Hawks Dominique Wilkins 21 jersey. But it was it Kenny Smith? I think it was Kenny Smith or Reggie Miller who was saying that the player that came out looked exactly like Kendall Gill. He did in the face. He did. So Kendall Gill getting a shout out, which was great. And you're right, Kendall. Body wise, wasn't even close. Wasn't even close. So that was a fun moment. And then they had this year. They had Steph Curry and Sabrina Ionescu of the New York Liberty going at it in their one little one-round three-point battle between those two, and it was cool. It worked out well. I think, yes, unlike everybody else, of course that kind of stuff is great for the game in terms of, you know, putting rising up women a little bit more as it pertains to basketball and the league and all of that. So it was pretty cool to watch. She was impressive. Steph did win that 29-26. It was called the Steph versus Sabrina. And then the thing that overridingly stood out to me during the night was in the skills competition. The skills competition was fine. It was interesting. But what stood out to me still, I still can't get past the awkwardness of how large of a man Victor Wembanyama is in doing the things that he does. I mean, it's like he's on stilts. And I know we've seen some really tall guys in the NBA in the past, and Yao Ming and Sean Bradley. And of course, those guys stood out too. But I still, like, when I watch games with Wembanyama, and I haven't watched a ton of them because of, you know, West Coast games, probably this might have been only my third or fourth time really watching him play this year, but it's really just astounding the skills that he has, the form and shooting that he has, and just how he stands out every single second. He is I can't stop watching. Like, you hope to get immune to it a little bit and take your eyes off of the man, but I am just glued to him. So it's that guy might have grabbed my attention still with all that went on last night. That may have grabbed my attention absolutely the most. And Dollar Dame did, by the way, win last night the three-point shooting contest as well. All right, we have to take a break because my Bears meter is going off right now. It is telling me it's time to get back to the Bears, time to get back to the Bears. We will do that next with Josh Schrock of NBC Sports Chicago. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.